Sal here, in the latest edition of Conversations in the Dark here in the Vault of Horror. And joining me tonight is none other than Matt Suzaka of, am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, of the infamous Chuck Norris Ate My Baby, which officially the URL, if you are one of the unlucky few who is not familiar with it, is chucknorrisatemybaby.blogspot.com. And I have to congratulate you for having the most easy to remember, even if it's a long name, the most easy to remember name for a blog that I've ever heard of. Yeah. And you have an incredible new banner, by the way, which people need to check out.
Oh, I love that. That was Fred Phantom that made that for me. I loved it. It was great.
Nice and violent. I saw that. It's great. I love it. Chuck Norris Ate My Baby. So we're going to be talking tonight about directors specifically. Well, you want to explain a little bit?
Well, there's so many directors, especially in horror, that have just kind of fallen by the wayside. They can't keep up with, you know, being able to scare people. There's quite a few of them. And even the ones that kind of are still staying relevant over the years, either they've drifted from horror or maybe they haven't stayed as relevant as they would seem on the surface, I guess. So that's what I was thinking about talking about tonight. Would be nice to look at the people who have and haven't been able to, and maybe some directors that, you know, it seems like they have, but have they really, you know, been able to kind of keep up with the present taste in horror nowadays? So,
well, I know who I think. I mean, I have people that I think of when you say something like that, that immediately come to mind. I'm curious to know who you think of when you say that. I mean, you know, who are you really thinking of? Because I can tell you who I am. Yeah, like who's the first person that comes to mind?
I think there's two. It has to be Argento and Romero.
Ah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I was going to say Romero.
Staying relevant. Yeah.
Yeah, Romero would be one of my mine, and I'm a huge fan, and I mean I'm definitely, you know, and I am a full on Diary of the Dead apologist, and I wrote a positive review of it, and I stand by it. Uh-huh. But you know, I agree, and Argento even more so. But I mean, I'm assuming you've got to be referring to Mother of Tears as part of that.
Well, his whole later half. Well, the thing with Argento is, I feel like his movies aren't as bad as some people say. Like, I've seen a few. I've seen, like, you know, Dude Like Hitchcock wasn't terrible. Sleepless, they weren't terrible. I think his big problem has been just the changing in technology, filmmaking styles and everything. I mean, when you look at Suspiria, like, that was in Technicolor, and that movie's a marvel, but just everything has changed technically in film. Like, and I think when you look at his movies now, they don't have the same quality that they had back then.
Yeah.
Like, the aesthetic is completely different. So I think that's been maybe one of his bigger problems is he can't keep up with technology. And his lower budgets stand out more than they did back then because it was on film, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, he's a real throwback because even Suspiria itself, you know, being filmed on Technicolor, they weren't even making movies that way then. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that was the last movie that was filmed in Technicolor.
It was. They had to do some kind of real finagling to get their hands on an authentic Technicolor camera, and I think it was just like it literally just was unusable by the end of the shoot. Like it really might have been the last, you know, movie shot that way.
It turned into dust after they were finished filming that film.
But it's because they wanted that look. But yeah, he's a guy where I can't believe, you know, sometimes he's so erratic that it's frustrating that you think to yourself, how could this be the same guy who made Suspiria particularly? Which, I mean, you can make an argument, you know, I hate getting into the whole debate, but you can make an argument that it's, you know, the most effective horror movie ever made, you know? How could this be the same guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Suspiria is one of my all-time favorites, definitely. And he has done some terrible, terrible films. I remember seeing Phantom of the Opera and thinking, oh, this is going to be fantastic. It's Phantom of the Opera. It's got, you know, who I thought Asia Argento was so hot at the time. Now she's kind of a scab. But, you know, she was, at the time, she was like, oh,
she's a little rough.
She's a little rough, but I still dig her in a way. But that movie, I saw that. I remember watching it on, like, I don't know, maybe TV or, you know, like HBO or something. And I was just, like, appalled at how terrible it was. And I like pretty trashy movies sometimes. But this was, like, you know, he has those movies that are terrible. But then he has ones that are – they're not great. Or they're not good to his standards of what he's done in the past. But he has – they're just not, you know, they aren't what he used to be, you know.
Well, Romero – Romero is a big one for me because, I mean, the original three Living Dead movies are, I mean, that's like my Bible right there. I mean, I'm one of those people, you know. There's Carpenter people, you know, there's Craven people. I'm a Romero person. Like, Dawn of the Dead is my obsession. The original one, obviously, and you know, and I was one of those people that was. That would, you know, constantly be trying to find out if they were going to make a fourth one, you know, that they were always talking about doing. Yep. And Land of the Dead is probably, you know, one of the biggest disappointments for me. And it's not that it's terrible. It's just that it's nowhere near being in the league. You know, all right, you could argue, I mean, Day of the Dead is a pretty flawed movie. You could argue... That it couldn't possibly be worse than that. Not saying Day of the Dead is a bad movie because I love it, but
yeah, it's one of those movies that has aged poorly, I guess. But it's still a fun movie, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny though. I mean, not to go off on a tangent, but Day of the Dead actually, I feel like the reputation of it has improved over the years. When it first came out, it was a total bomb. I mean, nobody really.
It was lambasted by everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was sort of too young to see it, but I remember it being out. It was the first of his movies that I actually remember when it was out. And I just remember it being this notorious bomb. Like, it was like a joke. And even among horror fans, it was considered a letdown, you know, after the first two. But then in later years, it just got more appreciation. But the Land of the Dead, and I just feel like... And then Diary, which I actually thought was better. And I think it was... Even though it came off as being derivative because a lot of people were doing that kind of... You know, first person camera thing. It's still,
that was at the time when Diary of the Dead was coming out. There was Cloverfield. I think that was when
Rec.
Paranormal Activity was making its first, you know, splash on the scene at that time. Rec, yep, that's another one. Everything was coming out. Poughkeepsie Tapes was another one that was being talked about. There was like 10 movies coming out that, you know, half of them didn't come out that year, obviously, but.
But he really seems like he's trapped. I mean, I was actually writing this in a comment. Off of something that somebody wrote on one of my posts, and it reminds me a little bit of George Lucas, because I have read interviews with Lucas and I've read things about him where the guy literally feels, and he won't always admit this, but he literally feels trapped by his own creation, because he started out as this independent filmmaker, you know, who had all these ideas of what he wanted to do, and now he's stuck making these movies to sell toys for the rest of his life. He can't do anything else. And I don't think he's that thrilled about it, honestly. And
that's a pretty good comparison, too, between the two of them.
But Romero's
the
same
way. They're stuck in these two worlds, you know?
It gets to the point now where I love the guy. I will see anything he makes. If he made, you know, he could make... You know, Diarrhea of the Dead, and I would go to see it.
Same thing.
But it's almost like a running gag now. It's like blah 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 of the Dead. It's like, you know, can you really? I mean, can't you? You know, come on. Can you do something else? You know,
well, that was like when Survival of the Dead was first announced. It was called Of the Dead. That's what people thought the name was going to be, Of the Dead, which was kind of funny actually. But
I would have loved it if it was, because it would have been the perfect like self-referential joke to do that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, when I saw Diary of the Dead, I didn't like it very much either, but I don't think I had as many problems with it as people did as far as the not being able to kind of keep up with what was current with, you know, people, or I don't think that was as much of a problem with me. I just thought there was just some poor things in it, but I have never watched it a second time either, so.
Well, he's a guy, I mean, when people come at me about, you know, the acting was so bad, I'm like, you know what? I love
his terrible acting too.
Yeah, it's like, have you seen Day of the Dead? Have you seen Dawn of the Dead? Have you seen Night of the Living Dead? I mean, these are not movies that we applaud for their fine dramatic performances. Although there are a couple, you know, I mean, Dwayne Jones is terrific in the first one. There are some really solid performances, and I actually think in Day of the Dead that well, obviously, you know, Howard Sherman is unbelievable without saying a single well, he says like two words. But he's fantastic. And even Richard Liberty in a totally hammy kind of way is really cool in that movie. But like I throw that out the window. What really the acting, forget it. Of course the acting's gonna be bad. But what depresses me is that he really does feel out of touch. And that's why he's the one that comes to mind when you were saying, you know, what you were saying about directors that have lost it. He just feels to me, and I hate this, this is like, you know, stabbing myself in the heart. But he seems to me like this aging hippie who, you know, was once really relevant and had a lot of interesting cultural things to say, but he's still saying the same thing 30 years later. You know what I mean?
He's outgrown, things have changed so much since he was making films that made sense at the time, It's just he's not in touch anymore, and it's I think people expect certain things from him, so they almost expect some sort of a statement from his movie. So maybe he has to like almost shoehorn it in, and he doesn't really know what to say, because what does he really care about except for cigarettes and big glasses, and that's really it. I mean, he's kind of, like you said, he's kind of trapped doing the things that people expect him to do. If he does anything different, if he does Bruiser, people hate it, which I actually thought Bruiser was okay when I saw it,
Well, I
but
think, you know,
people hate that film.
he went all those years without even being able to make a movie practically because nobody would fund him. And then all of a sudden, this zombie craze takes off. And it's like, okay, George, you can come back and make movies now, but they can only be about zombies. Okay,
And
great.
that's what Hollywood gave him money to do, Land of the Dead, and they, have him put some kind of name stars in there and everything too, so.
Yeah, and he, you know, it just seems like he's trying to say something. I don't quite know what he's trying to say anymore, and it's almost like, honestly, he's even gotten a little too cynical for me at this point. Like, it went from, in the early movies, being, what a shame, you know, people can't get along and society's destroying itself, and if only people could work together, you know, they could beat this thing. It went from that till you get to Land of the Dead, and he's basically saying the zombies deserve the world more than the human beings do. And that wasn't his original message. He's actually saying the zombies are actually better than us. Not that we're just as bad. The zombies are actually more noble than we are, and they're more deserving to inherit the earth. And I'm just like, well, hold on a second there. Like, you're just a bitter old man now, you
Well,
know?
you're taken away from the characters themselves in a way too, so.
Yeah. Well, who now? Okay. So aside from those two guys, I know there's others that I could definitely name. Who else would you name?
Well, I think there's different variables for each one. I mean, there's John Carpenter,
I was going to
but
say
I
him,
think
yeah.
with John Carpenter is different, I think, because he just really hasn't made much. I mean, he made so many great films early on in his career. And the thing about his early films too was they weren't exactly like big hits. I don't think Big Trouble in Little China was a big hit at
No,
all.
the
Same
thing
thing with
wasn't a
Day
hit.
Live or The Thing either. Yeah, The Thing is one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
And those weren't huge splash. I mean, they're all those films are looked at, very, very highly now. In the Mouth of Madness was one of his last better films, but since then he only made like Escape from LA and I think Ghosts of Mars.
Can we say
And
that vampires is the turning point?
oh yeah.
You know,
Yeah, I think Vampires is.
I saw somebody. I was talking to somebody once at a convention. He was giving some kind of presentation, and he made this joke about why does John Carpenter have to put his name in front of every movie? Like, is he not confident enough that people will know that he made the movie? You know, everything's it's John Carpenter's Vampires, John Carpenter. You know, but yeah, I think that movie was that had to be where you. Where I kind of lost faith that this was a guy that I could depend on to make really great movies. It was almost like, well, Wes Craven is another one, you know? I mean,
Well, Wes
doing.
Craven's kind of funny because he's kind of the only real thing he's done is Scream, really. And he's kind of ridden the coattails of Scream for a long time. And I mean, Wes Craven has made films that I love. I'm a big Last House on the Left fan, a Swamp Thing, Nightmare on Elm Street series is one of my favorites, Serpent and
Absolutely.
Rainbow.
Yes.
But, between, he did, I think, New Nightmare, and then he did The Vampire in Brooklyn.
Ah,
He did that,
that was his
which.
John Carpenter's Vampires.
Yeah, exactly. That's like where he went wrong. And then he did Scream, but since Scream, he's only done, what, two mediocre Scream sequels. I actually really dislike the third one. I'm not a big fan of the second one. He did Cursed, which wasn't very good. I never saw Red Eye. I heard it was okay, but that's really all he's done now. Him and Williamson have to get back together to make another Scream film,
He did a non-horror
almost.
film, didn't he? There was, didn't he do some kind of like touchy-feely mainstream movie. He did something. I forget
what he did. He did one. I almost have the name, too. Music of the Heart.
Oh, right. That was the one, yeah.
That's right. But he did that. He did that not even that long ago, really.
I have one for you who, okay, we said Carpenter, who is a good one, and Craven, but somebody who actually kind of moved in a completely different direction and is now not, it definitely hasn't lost his touch, but doesn't seem to be someone who's that interested in horror anymore, and it's David Cronenberg.
What about him? He's one of the ones that probably has stayed relevant, but
yeah,
has
in a different
moved
way.
Into a different area, totally, yeah.
I mean, Eastern Promises was an incredible movie.
Yeah, In a History of Violence is a great film. Yeah, and Spiders. Yeah. Spiders is a good movie, too. And the thing with those is, like, he's kind of moved out of horror, but it still has the darkness to it, which is nice. You know, it's nice to kind of see someone grow up a little bit. Not that I don't think he ever, like, not that he was ever immature to say horror was immature or anything, but he's kind of moved on to a different era of his life, which is good to see because he's doing great films.
Yeah,
as opposed to trying to hold on to what he did in the past. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he doesn't hold on to what he's done in the past like other filmmakers do, and that's where it gets lost.
I think that might be part of it. I think sometimes, I hate to say it, maybe these guys, you know, they're good at a certain thing. They have a knack of doing a certain thing, whereas a guy like a Cronenberg is just a great director, period, and it wouldn't matter what kind of movie he's making. It's like, you know, if you go back to gosh, I mean, if you can go all the way back to, didn't Todd Browning, either Todd Browning or James Whale, I think it's maybe James Whale, he did a Showboat, you know what I mean? These guys were versatile. They're great directors no matter what they're doing. And I think some of these guys, maybe they can only do a certain thing. I mean, is that the problem?
You know? Yeah, it could be. Because, I mean, you look back at Hitchcock or Bava, who were able to kind of stay relevant or make films for a long time and still make good films for many years. And you have someone like Toby Hooper who could only make a few, you know, a handful of good movies.
Yeah.
And after that, where does someone like that go? You know, maybe they only had that couple of films in them. It's like going back to Wes Craven, for every great film he's made a really shitty one too, you know?
Well, Toby Hooper is a classic example. I was waiting for you to bring him up because, I mean, he's a guy who, it's like he had this really great movie in him. He had something he really needed to say. He said it. He got it out of his system, and the last, you know, 35 years has just been him trying to find his way back. You know.
Yeah, he's a mess too. I mean, I watched the he did a Masters of Horror episode that was so terrible. I think it was called Dance of the Dead, and it was just trying to be so hip. And I don't know about hip is a good word, but so technically, you know. Now, like how things look, trying to have this kind of shaky, gritty look to it that you see in so many movies that isn't really a look that's looks good anyways to begin with, or especially not when it's done well. And he's done some, you know, I mean, I'm a big Texas Chainsaw Massacre fan, and I'm actually a big Funhouse fan. The reason why I like, you know, the Funhouse, because it's atmosphere. It's a complete opposite film of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, so you gotta wonder, like, he has something in him, but is it like, how many bullets does he have? Did he use up all his bullets? You know, it's like a pitcher who doesn't want to. It's like David Wells who wouldn't want to do he didn't want to do rehab starts because he didn't want to waste bullets. It's like, how do they only have a certain amount of bullets in their chamber and then it's done? They have no more left, you know?
Yeah, he's a classic example of the guy who seems to have just kind of given up. Like he just sort of ran out of steam. Maybe it was the whole, you know, poltergeist experience. Yeah. I don't know why.
He ran out of life force.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and the poltergeist thing is, I always find that so interesting too. Whenever reading about that is just wild because you hear one actor say, you know, oh, Toby Hooper did so much, and then another actor, he didn't do anything. It's just wild. That whole story is just like, even reading about it quite a bit, that's never been clear, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think the only people that know are Steven Spielberg and Toby Hooper, so.
I get into things with people about that because I'm one of those people, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I watch that movie and I'm just like, this is a goddamn Steven Spielberg movie. I'm sorry. You know, this is, if Steven Spielberg did a horror movie, it would be Poltergeist. And it is Poltergeist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it has that family, childlike, that It's early Steven Spielberg is what it is, you know.
It totally fits in. It has that, even though it's a horror movie, it has that warm kind of summer blockbustery feel to it. Like you you could put
just the introduction to the neighborhood in the beginning is so is him. Yep.
It you know, it's E.T., it's Close Encounters, it's all that early Spielberg stuff, you know, it totally fits in. To me anyway, I don't know.
But yeah, I agree. Yep.
Except for the scene where the guy rips his face off, you know.
That's a great scene. That scared the living hell. That movie scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
I could not watch
clown
that
on the tree. Ugh.
I couldn't watch that scene with the face ripping. That and the Nazis melting in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I swear to you, I don't think I actually saw those scenes with my eyes until I was a teenager. Because every time the movie would be on, I would cover my eyes during those parts. I don't think I actually knew what it looked like.
Well, that was a great period in movies. Period, I think, when you had, you know, commercial films that had these horrible scenes where, if you were a kid, you're going out to see this big budget thing, and there were scenes of horror in them. And I don't know if you see that as much now. Maybe I just don't notice it because I'm older.
Well, I'll tell you,
something. But
no, it doesn't. It is pretty shocking to see even now. It rarely happens. And I'm gonna do. I'm not even gonna get into this because we could do a whole thing on this. But I just saw The Wolfman last night.
And I was going to ask you if you saw that.
Yeah, I'm going to write a review in the next couple of days. But one of the things, aside from whether it's good, whether it's bad and all that, blah, 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 the level of violence, not that it's anything that's going to make your hair fall out. But, I mean, for a mainstream big budget horror movie, I can't think of one in recent years that was as violent as this. You know, this had stuff in it that I was hoping to see in the last two Romero movies and didn't get to see. I mean, there's some
I heard it was very gory. I heard there was gut munching was one review I read.
He pulls out this is a horror podcast, so if you don't expect to hear stuff like this, then you gotta listen to the Disney Channel or something. But he pulls out a guy's liver with his teeth and in it's like slow and lovingly shot. And to see that in a movie starring Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins, wild. I mean, you didn't even get to see that in Silence of the Lambs. You know what I mean?
There's
a lot of blood and a lot of violence. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the level of violence in that movie is pretty wild for a mainstream big horror movie like that.
Yeah, and you don't see that in mainstream. You know what that makes me think of, though, is Sam Raimi. The scene in Spider-Man 2 when Dr. Octopus comes back to life.
Yes.
Or when he comes to life. I brought my little brother to see that. And I love the second Spider-Man. But that scene is an Evil Dead scene all the way. And yes. We brought my little brother to see it. I don't know how old he was. Maybe 7 or 8. And he was afraid. Deathly afraid of that scene.
Well,
he was covering his face. And I was like, huh. And you know what? Sam Raimi is a horror director. Or that's his roots. So maybe that's one of the few people you'll see that from. You know, maybe the horror directors are one of the few people that might do that.
Yeah, that's
just based off their roots, you know?
That's the scene that I have to fast forward through if I show it to my kids. And actually, for the first movie, too, the one where Willem Dafoe first becomes the Goblin is pretty intense.
Is it when he's talking back and forth to himself, like in a mirror and everything, too?
The part where he kills the lab assistant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's, you know, it's not as bad as the octopus scene, but, you know, it's straight out of a horror movie.
I don't see how any kid could watch Willem Dafoe enough. He's scared.
Yeah, he's scary. He's just scared, standing there. But one other thing, just before we believe it or not, I can't believe we've been talking for almost a half hour. But to get back to Cronenberg, just really quickly, one thing that does irk me a little bit as a fan of genre movies is the way that a guy like him who he gets respect now that he never got before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's not doing horror movies, because he moved on. And you want to know something? Like, it's not like he's directing, you know, Sophie's Choice or something. I mean, no, because Eastern Promises, a movie like that, or History of Violence, those are pulpy kind of action-y movies. It's not like he's doing, you know, Citizen Kane. So, I mean, it's just there's this anti horror thing and just anti-genre, and
it's the looking down at horror, which has always been a case with everything.
I always point to Robert Zemeckis as the most cut and dried example, and I'll tell you why. That's a guy, he made his career out of doing like fantasy and science fiction movies that were very good, or at least very highly regarded movies. I mean, Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, those are very popular genre movies. But
they are genre movies, definitely. Yeah.
But what's the movie that he got all the attention for, and he got an Oscar nomination and won, and it's probably, not that it's awful, but probably the worst movie he's ever done, and it's Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah. I hate that movie.
I mean, I know lots. I don't hate it like people do. I mean,
I'm not a big fan of
it. It hasn't held up very well, I will say that. But, yeah. I mean, it's easily the weakest movie that he, at least up until that point in time, had done. And but because it wasn't genre, it got all these accolades heaped on it, and it was like, well, where were you? You know, Back to the Future is 10 times as good as this. Where were you then?
That's a classic film that people can still watch. Yeah.
But you know the Cronenberg thing reminds me of that. He's somebody that definitely hasn't lost his touch, but he's perceived in a completely different way now than he was. It's almost like he's a different person. Yeah.
And if you watch a film like, you know, any of his earlier movies, you know, Videodrome. Watch Video. That movie is a masterpiece. That's a great, great film in horror because it's just different than anything else.
Or The Brood.
Those films are much better than his newer work. Like, a lot better, you know? So it is too bad. It's like when it's just people look down on horror, and it's always going to be like that. It pisses me off big time. But you think about, like, so many movies that are successful, they aren't horror anymore. They become thrillers. You know, they win an Academy Award, like Silence of the Lambs, it becomes a thriller. You know, it's just, too bad.
Shutter Island is going to fall squarely in. It's like, no, this is a thriller. It's a thriller. Everything you see is not really happening. He's hallucinating. It's a thriller. This is not supernatural. But the whole thing of genre entertainment getting looked down on could definitely be the subject of part two, because I will have to have you back at some point. But I think we're gonna have to wrap it up before people just get sick of us talking in our sick voices.
This is too long.
Yeah, but thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Awesome.
And, yeah, I know we tried to do it last week, and but we finally made it happen, and it was a pleasure getting to talk about great directors who have lost their way. What a sad topic.
You can talk about this all day.
Thank you, and it's been great having you for Conversations in the Dark this week.
Thank you so much.